Father, this morning we love you. We thank you for this time together that we can come and we can be in your presence. And Father, that's our heart cry this morning. God, we want to pour out our praise on you. With the very breath that you give us, Lord, we give it back to you. We say you're worthy. We say you're worthy, Lord. We sing, great are you, Lord. Father, this morning we love you. We pray that you would just be glorified as we hear your word this morning. That you'd speak to our hearts. God, that you'd open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. We love you and we give this service to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Okay, but Brother Lee asked me to preach, and so I'm excited for them and all the stories that they have. They took a really large group, and so I'm excited to see what God does. Kenny's there, Andy Bob's there, several of our staff, and we're excited that the Lord is working in Israel, and just excited to see him come back. I wanted to talk to you a little bit this morning about, there's a story about Abraham Lincoln that Max Lucado talks about in his book. He wrote a book many years ago called God Came Near. And he tells a story of a woman whose son has been caught for treason. And the penalty back then, obviously, was that he would receive a hanging that was death. Anybody that committed treason would be killed. And so the mom was so desperate. She tried and tried and tried to get a conversation with Abraham Lincoln. And she went to him and she wrote him letters and she finally was able to meet with him. And she begged for her son's life. And she just absolutely begged. And Abraham Lincoln was just amazed at the tenacity of this mom. And he ended up granting a pardon to this young man, and he said something when the mom was walking off. He said, I'm going to spare your son's life for his act of treason, but I wish he would just have a little bit of hanging in his life, just a little bit to teach him a lesson. And then Max Lucado goes on to tell, after he wrote that story, he goes on to tell that one Sunday afternoon, he was with his visiting, and he had a lot of friends over the house, and they were just talking and having fun, and they had a pool, and they were just talking and just enjoying each other. And then all of a sudden, one of the little girls runs in, of the other family runs in and says, Jenna is in the pool. And Jenna was 2 years old, and sure enough, Jenna had slipped into the pool, and she was at the bottom of the pool, and they ran out of the house, and they jumped in the pool, and they got her and pulled her up, and she was coughing, and she was just begging for air, and she ended up obviously living. It was kind of interesting. Joe and I were watching Fixer Upper yesterday, and Jenna was on... she was buying a house from Chip and Joanna Gaines. So it was real interesting that we watched that last night, that Jenna was the one that fell in the pool. But Max goes on to just tell that day he received a little bit of hanging, just a little bit to wake him up. And he goes on to describe just how Satan really makes things in our lives, we just take them for granted. And he sits here and he describes Satan, and he says his goal is nothing more than to take what is most precious to us and make it common. I want to read that to you again. His goal is nothing more than to take what is most precious to us and make it common. And he goes on to say, Satan is an expert in robbing the sparkle and replacing it with the drab. He invented the yawn and put the hum and humdrum. He is deceptive. He won't steal your salvation. He'll just make you forget what it means to be lost. You'll grow accustomed to prayer and thereby not pray. Your worship will become commonplace. So as you sit in worship and you listen to music, you're just like, wow, I just can't wait for this to be over. And so Satan is very deceptive in doing that. With the passing of time, he'll infiltrate your heart with boredom, and he'll cover the cross with dust so that you'll be safely out of the reach of change. And I thought this was really poignant in terms of him saying that, because isn't that what Satan does? He has a way of just making things that are most precious to us just commonplace. We take things for granted. We take our salvation for granted. We take our spouse for granted. We take our children for granted. We take our friendships for granted. We take what God has done to us in a very, very precious way, and we forget about it. We have a very, very short memory. Psalm 119, 71 says, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." And I want you to understand that. Here, God is bringing suffering into a life in order for us to pay more attention. And, you know, Max Lucado goes on to talk about in this chapter how sometimes God gives us a divine slap, and he gives us a severe mercy, so to speak. And he gives us a little bit of hanging to kind of wake us up out of the slumber that we've been in. Hebrews 12, verse 5 says, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as a child. As you endure the divine discipline, remember God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father?" You know, Scripture clearly states that God does give us that divine slap sometimes to wake us up. I remember one time many years ago when my oldest daughter, Natalie, was really young. I mean, I think she was about 6 or 7 years old. And at that time, I was in the ministry, I was in the church, and she came up to me and she said something to me that really startled me. She said, "Daddy, I think I love church more than you do." And, you know, it was like out of heaven. It was that divine slap, because she was right. I had been getting really just disgruntled with church in general. And I just wasn't really happy. I was really taking everything for granted, my salvation for granted. I was taking just my life that God has given me for granted. And she saw that as a 6 or 7 years old little girl. She saw that in my heart. And she saw, and so God graciously came in and just gave me a slap from my daughter to say, hey, Dad, I love church more than you do. And that was a really strong point in my life when I recommitted my life to the Lord and recommitted my life to the church. You know, Brother Lee came through out of Jonah, and in chapter 4, it describes, well, of course, Jonah was going through a divine slap all through that book. But it was really interesting in chapter 4 when God caused that broom tree to kind of grow over him and protect him from the shade. And then God allowed the worms to come and eat that shade, and how Jonah got really angry. And then the Lord said something that Brother Lee talked about several weeks ago. He said in verse 9 of Jonah chapter 4, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?" "Yes," Jonah retorted, "even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" And that was kind of as if a divine slap just came out of heaven and just slapped Jonah right across the face. And I have to admit, even as I went over this and I taught the children the same the same scripture as Lee was. And it was almost like God was even telling me at times, you know, Sean, do you have a right to be angry at this or this or this? And it was really helpful for me to hear that. We look at Zechariah, and Zechariah was a priest in Luke chapter 1. And Zechariah was going about his priestly duties. And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, showed up to him and said, Gabriel, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a baby. And, you know, Zechariah was just sitting there, and here's what he said to Gabriel. How can I be sure this is going to happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in the years. And obviously, you know, Zechariah was doubting the Lord. He was really not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. He was not trusting in the Spirit of the Lord. And then the angel Gabriel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was He who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until your child is born. And that's a divine slap that just came out of heaven to wake Zechariah up, to kind of wake him out of his just this cloud of that he was living in. And obviously, we see that the Apostle Paul went through the same thing in his life. He describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, that he had a thorn in his flesh. And this is what he says in verse 7. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, He is strong. And you know, we see over and over God giving us a divine slap, a severe mercy, a little bit of hanging, so to speak. And we see how God graciously does that. Now, sometimes God gets our attention with His kindness, with His blessings in our lives. But other times, we're a little slow. And I described a divine slap, and I put in my notes, for some of us, it's a divine 2x4 up against our head in order for us to get our attention. And as Max Lucado wrote that about his little daughter, Jenna, that woke him up to realize Satan never rests. He is always around. And he realized that he was kind of sleeping a little bit in his life, and he was taking things for granted in his life. You know, this summer, God chose to be kind to me and get me out of, a period in my life where I took God for granted. And after Adventure Week this summer, I mean, I struggled. I struggled as a Christian. I struggled with my faith. I was low. And, you know, I had a book in my office for a long time called Blue Like Jazz. And it was by Don Miller. And he wrote this book. And so I saw that book and I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to download it. And I'm just going to listen to it as I mow and as I do different things. And so I downloaded that book, and God graciously began to wake me up again. And it was like God just graciously speaking to me and saying, Sean, I love you. Sean, I care about you. Sean, I am here. And it was like God began to restore my spirit and began to restore where I was, because really, to be quite honest with you, I was taking God for granted. I was taking some things in my life for granted. And, you know, in that book, Don Miller describes that he was at a church, and he was the college minister at this church. And he described how he started teaching, and the next Sunday he started teaching again, and all of a sudden people recognized him and started to say, man, you're you know, Don, you're a really good teacher. You need to consider this position. And so he goes, oh, yeah. So he started to do this. So he settled in as the college minister for about a year, and he realized that through that year, he was just empty spiritually. And he realized that when he went in to teach, he was just reciting things, from off the top of his head, and he wasn't spending time with the Lord, and he was becoming very cynical with his life, and he felt really fake with his life. And he describes a time where he went into his pastor and he said, "Hey, I need to quit. I need to give it up." And he goes, "Man, I'm a fake. I'm a fraud. And his pastor tried to walk him through this. And he said, Don Miller tells his pastor, he said, "I just need to get out of here. I just need to get away." So he describes that he took a journey, and he took a journey with a friend of his, and he ended up in the Grand Canyon. And there he was in the Grand Canyon, and they were camping out. And all of a sudden, God just kind of slapped him upside the head, and he began to speak to him and restore him and began to do some just real work in his life. And this is what he says. This is a quote of what he says during that time. He says, "God, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry I got so confused about you, got so fake. I hope it's not too late anymore. Hope it's not too late. I don't really know who I am, who you are, or what faith looks like." And so God began to, through that confession, God began to restore him, and God began to build him up, and God began to show himself. And he woke up out of his slumber, so to speak, and God graciously got his attention. Now, you know, as we enter into the Christmas season, this is probably a really good time to ask, have you taken some things for granted in your life? Are you just really busy? Have you taken your spouse for granted? Are you not focusing on your spouse? Have you let some things slip in your life? Have you invited sin to come in your life that you're welcoming into your life? Are you doing those things? Like I said earlier before, are you taking your children for granted? Are you taking your family for granted? And so it's a really good time to kind of stop and pause and to say, "God, what am I taking for granted?" Maybe you need a divine slap. Maybe God needs to get your attention in some ways. And I pray that it's through His kindness. But you know, sometimes we're so stubborn. And could it be this morning that God wants you to wake up? Could it be this morning that you've taken some things for granted? And I want to challenge you in your life, especially through this Christmas season. You can get really caught up in just all the presents and all the busyness of the season, and you could really miss a beautiful opportunity with Jesus, with your family. You could miss opportunities, and if you're not listening for them. You know, I love a story that I heard a long time ago about a lumber mill. And this older man lost a very precious stopwatch. And it was given to him, I think, by his grandfather. And he lost it. And they frantically looked around the sawmill. They stopped work, and they stopped, you know, the blades, all kinds of different things. And they were looking and looking, and so they could never find it. It was probably under a lot of sawdust. And so it was kind of interesting. A little kid says, "Hey, I can find it for you." And so the little kid said, "Hey, but I need y'all to leave. I need y'all to leave. And we need to shut down everything." So the little kid walks in, and he just sat there, and it was quiet. The saws weren't rolling, and there wasn't any noise whatsoever, and he just sat there, and he got up and walked around a little bit, and he was really still, and he was really quiet, and then he heard the ticking of the stopwatch, and he walked over to the stopwatch, and he just moved some of the sawdust, and he picked up the stopwatch, and he walked out of the building, and he said, "Here you go, sir." And that is a great picture of our lives sometimes. Sometimes we need to just stop everything. Sometimes we just need to listen to God. And so it's important for us during this time. I'd like y'all to do me a favor and just close your eyes, please, and bow your heads. Perhaps the Holy Spirit spoke to you today and said that you were taking some things for granted in your life. You've been taking your wife for granted. You've been taking your husband for granted. Your children. Your friends, maybe. Your church. You know, and the Holy Spirit might have just touched on something that you need to wake up from. And just what I would like for you to do in the quietness of this moment is I would like for you to just say, Jesus, would you please show me what I'm taking for granted in my life? Jesus, would you please give me a nudge? Could you wake me up from my slumber? Would you help me to set my focus on you during this season and not about all the different things that Christmas brings? Perhaps you need to ask Him forgiveness. You need to start with your sin. And you've let sin come in your life and creep in your life. You've let Satan enter your life in a way that is enslaving you. And you need to ask Jesus to break those chains. You need to say, Jesus, will you please forgive me for that sin and name that sin specifically? Be honest. Be humble before the Lord. And that you would just ask for the grace and the mercy of Jesus to flow over you. As Don Miller did in the Grand Canyon, maybe you need to do that right now. You need to just tell Jesus that you're sorry. Your life has kind of gotten away from you. Dear Jesus, we want to pause this morning after Thanksgiving and heading into Christmas. Jesus, forgive us for being so busy during this time of year that we don't pause to think about you and to think about your blessings and to think about all the wonderful things that you've blessed us with. Jesus, we ask that you would wake us up, that you would give us a divine slap. We pray that it would be gentle. Some of us, though, are stubborn. Lord, forgive us for our stubbornness. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross. We thank you that you're always there to hear our prayer. When life gets out of hand, when it gets out of control, you're always there for us. You always welcome us back. You always forgive us. And we praise you for that. Lord, I pray that we can all just begin anew and that we can wake up from our slumber. Jesus, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we would like to take the offering, so ushers come forward.